Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning there was peace, and in the end there will be peace. But what is here and now is war, not a war of money or land, but rather one of spirituality. So as our blood, sweat, and tears begin to blend into the rhythm of the drum, we are faced with one question. Who is willing to die for the life? Are you ready for the war?
Good evening, Israel, family, and listening audience. Welcome to another session of Can It Be That Simple? I am your host, Yahrael of Beth Yahweh Congregation. As always, this is it's been a while since I've been on air, and just want to reiterate or tell you all to get your study materials together, your notepads, your Bibles, your iPads, all those things that you need for a good study. I'm going to start off with an opening prayer. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to come to you. Another day, another opportunity to give you praise. But ultimately, we are embarking upon another Sabbath day. Another day in which you say that you will meet with us. Father, we thank thee for the strength that you gave us throughout the course of the week and bringing us to this moment. We thank thee, Father, for thy Son, Yahushua, our Lord, our Savior, Redeemer, and soon coming King, and what he has done for us, laying his life down so that we can make it into thy kingdom, and that we can also recognize that door to make it, to enter into your kingdom. Father, we ask of thee to open our minds to the revelation of your word tonight. We ask of thee to continue to mold our mind as that clay that is ready to be molded. We ask of thee, Father, to continue to chisel away those things that are in us that causes us not to fit in your house. For we know that the house that you're building is made of lively stones, and each stone is placed perfectly in its place. And we want you to chisel away those things so that we can fit perfectly in your place, in your kingdom, in your house. Father, and the way that we do that is by studying your word. So we ask of you, O Father, to continue to give us that word through thy Son, Yahushua. We ask these things in his holy and precious name. Amen. Blessed are you, Yahweh, Almighty One, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments, took pleasure in us, and with love and favor gave us his holy Sabbath as a heritage, a remembrance of creation. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Amen. Shalom, family, once again. And this is another session of Can It Be That Simple? And the subject matter of today is distractions. And I label this distractions. How many of us had them? Distractions. Because sometimes these distractions that we have or that we come across, they cause us to stumble. They cause us to forget. They cause us to not do the will of the Most High. They also cause us not to do our duty as being servants and as being part of humanity. Before I get into my first definition, send out a shout to let me know whether or not you can hear me clearly. And if you can, give me a thumbs up. If you can't, let me know, and I'll try to see what I can do to get the voices heard. But we're going to start off first with the definition of distraction. And I got this from the Webster's Dictionary online, and it says, distraction, a thing that prevents someone from giving full attention to something else. Another definition is extreme agitation of the mind or emotions. So, when we deal with this thing called distractions, these things prevent us from doing the right thing or prevent us from putting in the work to do the right thing. Because we know that in order to serve the Most High or to serve the Mighty One, we have to put work in by keeping His commandments and protecting His commandments from all obstacles. And in our efforts of trying to protect those things, the adversary jumps out there because we know what the adversary is about. He's out there seeking to see who he can destroy, who he can disrupt. You know, but he's doing his work too because Almighty allows him to do certain, and we learn that in the book of Job. So one of the things, you know, we're going to go to, a couple definitions, and they come up later on in the scripture reading that I'm going to do, but I'm going to read them now because when I read them in the scriptures, it's not really saying the word itself. It's giving like a concept of what distraction is. So one of the definitions is in your Hebrew lexicon, it's 6323. You know what? I'm gonna wait till I get to it. That way you can understand the concept of why this particular word was put in, why this particular word was been put there. So from here we're gonna go to Genesis chapter 3 verse 1. And it reads, and I'm just going to read the first clause of this particular scripture. It says, now the serpent was more subtle than any animal of the field which Yahweh Elohim had made. Okay, I'm going to stop right there. Because lately, we've been doing some studying, and we've been going through the book of Enoch. And recently, we came across where Satan, Lucifer, the fallen one, he was discussing with another fallen angel or a fallen servant of the Most High. Because as we know that Hasatan or Hillel, when he fell from the heavens, he took a third with him. And then we also know that the Most High assigned angels to govern men or to teach men. And they also fell. And so, as we know about the different angels and the different servants of the Most High, they all had a specific purpose that they served for the Most High. And so, when we was reading about some of these angels that fell or left their first their first abode or left the holy habitation, they had different skills. And so, in understanding this army, see, because when we learn about the Most High, He has an army, because we deal with that when we start dealing with the book of Numbers, you know, when He started, gathering up His army out of Israel. So we know that there's an army on the righteous side, but there's also an army on the unrighteous side. And when we deal with the army, there is rank and file. There's authorities. So understanding that Lucifer, when he was in the heavens, he had a level of authority. So when he fell to the earth or fell from the heavens, he still remained, he still had that authority or that rank. So in understanding that, he had rank or authority over these fallen angels. And they respected that, because I think it's an account where in the scriptures where it talks about how Michael did not accuse Hasatan or Satan or the fallen one. Why? Because of his authority. And he wasn't going to do that, because ultimately he's going to be judged in due time. So, and I went there because we have to understand that he's more subtle and crafty and skilled. And I'm linking him with these distractions, because what is he doing at times? At times, he's sending out his minions, his soldiers, to distract you. So I went there to deal with the distraction, or the person that can be sending others to distract you. But sometimes, you know, and we know that distractions, like in the definition, can be in your mind, or it can be something physical, something that you can see. See, because that's one of the things that we learned about Hasatan, or Hillel when he fell, is that he used the five senses to distract humanity. So from here, we're going to go to Psalms 88. And I'm going to read the whole psalm. I have to turn to it. Psalms 88. And in this particular psalm, it uses the word for distracted near the end of it. But I've just read the whole. Is that it? Let me see a minute. Yeah. Okay. And it says, I'm going to start at verse one. It says, a psalm for the son of Korah, the chief musician, upon Mahalath, Linoth, Miskil of Hermon, the Ezrahite. O mighty one of my salvation, I have cried day and night before thee. Let my prayer come before thee. Incline thy ears unto my cry. For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draweth nigh unto the grave. I am counted with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that has no strength, free among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, whom thou rememberest no more, and they are cut off from thy hand. Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the deeps. Thy wrath lieth hard upon me, and thou hast afflicted me with all thy ways, Salah. Thou hast put away my acquaintances far from me. Thou hast made me an abomination unto them. I am shut up, and I cannot come forth. Mine eyes mourneth by reason of afflictions. Mighty one, I have called daily upon thee. I have stretched out my hands unto thee. Wilt thou showeth wonders to the dead. Shall the dead arise and praise thee, Salah? Shall thy loving kindness be declared in the grave, or thy faithfulness in destruction? Shall thy wonders be known in the dark, and thy righteousness in the land of the forgetfulness? Forgetfulness. But unto thee I have cried out, O mighty one, in the morning shall my prayer prevent thee. Mighty one, why cast thou off from my soul? Why hidest thou thy face from me? I am afflicted, and I am ready to die from my youth up. While I suffer thy terrors, I am distracted. So this right here is the word distracted. And when I looked it up, and I went old school for this one, I went to the hard copy of a concordance. And in the concordance, this was the only scripture that had the word distracted. And it is 6323, and it's poon. And it means from a primitive root meaning to turn, be perplexed, mean doless. So we're going to finish it up. Verse 16, thy fierce wrath goeth over me. Thy terror hath cut me off. They came round about me daily like water. They compassed me about together. Love and friends hast thou put far from me, and my acquaintances into darkness. So I went there because it used the word distraction, and that was basically the only scripture that had the word distraction in it. So one of the things that came to my mind in regards to distraction, you know, as we know about the Hebrew language, it is a concrete language. So when we look at distractions, you know, we have to, you know, understand that this is something that is put in front of you that's causing a level of confusion. And as we know that confusion is not, the Most High is not the author of confusion, but with man's intellect and the adversary comes confusion. Because when man decides that he doesn't want to be with the Most High, he confuses himself because he doesn't know whether or not he wants to serve the Most High or serve himself, which gives him a level of confusion. And with the help of the adversary, what do he do? He causes him to separate himself from the Most High. And also, and when he separates himself from the Most High, what is he doing? He's starting to feel the things outside of the Most High. And the only way that he can really get back to the Most High is to cry out to him and go back to his first love, or go back to the things that makes him be seen by the Most High again. And as we know, that is keeping first having that love for him, having that love for his son, and having that love for his word. So from here, what I'm going to do, I'm going to read a few scriptures. I'm going to go to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. And I'm going here because we have to understand how to combat this distraction. Because one of the things that we've learned over the years that, you know, we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and and wickedness in high places. So ultimately, the war that we are in is a spiritual war, but it's also manifest in the physical. And how it's manifest in the physical is through the different distractions that we can physically see. And sometimes we get caught up in what we can physically see, and we don't understand what we're mentally going through because we're not being in tune with the Most High. So I'm going to read this scripture, and it reads, this is Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13, and this is Solomon speaking, and he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, fear Yah, and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of man. Love mighty one, and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of man. Respect mighty one, and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of man. So when we fulfill our duty as being humanity, we can combat against the adversary. So, and with, now we're going to go to Matthew chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 1 to 11. Let me turn to it real quick. Okay. Now this is talking about Messiah. This is after he was baptized. And it reads, then Yahushua was led up. Then Yahushua led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards hungered. So now, right here, I'm stopping at this word hungered. It's letting you know that the Messiah was hungry. He had, this is like a physical distraction for humanity, being hungry. And sometimes when we're hungry, we make bad decisions. So this is this is what we supposed to be taking on. This is the mindset we supposed to be having. Now let's finish. Verse 3. And when the tempter came to him and said, if thou be the Son of the Mighty One, command these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Mighty One. So right here, we're looking at the adversary understands that the Messiah, or at this time, we know that he's the Messiah. At this time, the adversary is tempting him. Why? Because he understands and knows that he's hungry. And because he's in the flesh, he's tempting him. Hey, eat this bread. If you be the Son of God, then you make these stones in the bread. And then he gave him a response. He gave him the word that man is not supposed to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Mighty One. Verse 5. Then the devil taketh him into the holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, of Mighty One, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hand they shall bear up thee, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. Yeshua said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Mighty One, thy Elohim. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceedingly high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things I will give thee if thou fall down and worship me. And Yahushua said unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the mighty one, thy Elohim, and only, and him only shall thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Let's stop right there. So right, you know, so when we look at this account of the Messiah being tempted by Satan, he first knew that he was hungry based on his physical aspects. But how did the Messiah combat the things that he did? He approached Noah. He approached him. He combated it with the word. And see, and that's what we have to do. We have to combat the situations that we're in or the distractions that we're in with that word. And I say that in light of what we're going through right now. We're going through a pandemic here in the world. And the Most High is also showing us certain things that has already happened in his word, but he's manifesting these things in our day and time to give us, to help our unbelief, so that we can see that these things truly happen, and they happen again, because Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. Or think, it's written that there's nothing new under the sun, and everything that's under the sun is here on the earth. So, like we recently, if you go into the news to talk about locusts overrunning Africa, and this happened a few months before Passover, and as we know, one of the plagues in the Exodus from Egypt was the locusts came and ate up the crops and things of that nature. And then shortly after that, you know, in that narrative, there was plagues that came through, or disease that came through. And what are we doing now? We're going through a level of disease that's going through the world. But this can be a distraction to those who are unlearned. See, this thing that we're going through now is for both the unbeliever and the believer to learn from. And see, and one of the things that we have to do is cleave to his word and understand that this is going to pass. But he's also given us an opportunity to prepare for when that true tribulation comes. And this is like a rehearsal of what we're going to be doing. But as we read in the scripture, it's going to be even worse, that tribulation that comes. But what is he giving us? A rehearsal, giving us opportunity to see how we fare against it, you know. So from here, we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. And it reads, I'm just reading this particular scripture. I think I'm going to read a couple. I'm going to go to verse 14 and then read down. Okay, and it says, but the natural man receives not the things of the spirit of Elohim, for they are foolish unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are not spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritually judges all things, yet he himself is a judge of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Mighty One, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of the Messiah. So I went here because when we read the last part of Matthew's, it talks about how he was ministered unto. So what ministered him? His Father ministered him and spoke with him and assisted him. And that's the same with us. The Messiah ministers to us when we have those, when we're in those troubling times, when we focus on that word, because he sends his spirit through his word to us to help us out. But we also, getting back to the beginning, the distraction. Sometimes we get distracted and it causes us to lose sight of our purpose and what we're supposed to be doing. And sometimes he corrects us. He corrects us in the midst of that. And if we are spiritually in tune with him, we begin to go back and reflect on what we have been doing outside of the will of the Most High. Or sometimes he just have things happen to us so that we can be prepared for the next level. So from here, we're going to go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. And it's just another scripture to, you know, keep us in mind of what we're supposed to be having in us. Because as I said before on several other teachings, that Yahushua wants to dwell in us. He wants to dwell in us because he sends his spirit to us so that we can be filled with him and allow that seed of him that's in us to grow. But when we get distracted and turn away from him, what happens? We don't get the necessary water that is needed for him to constantly grow. But then that's why he sends us, that's why we have the brethren and the brotherhood and the sisterhood, and he can utilize anybody to give you that spark again. But let's go back to the scripture, Philippians 2:5. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Yahushua, the Messiah." Now we understand and we know what was in the Messiah, because I'm going to read the next scripture. "Who being in the form of the Mighty One, thought it not be robbery to be equal with Yah." So same thing with us. As we study the word and put that word in us and allow us to hear that spirit of Yahushua, then that makes us equal with Yahushua. And if we're equal with Yahushua and Yahushua was equal with the Father, then that makes us all one. And that's our goal, to be one with the Father. But the only way that we can be one with the Father is if we are one with Yahushua, if we allow his mind to be in us. So from here, we're going to go to 1 Kings, Kings chapter 19. I'm using my little iPad. These particular scriptures came to me after the fact. Called myself give my lesson and then decide to lay down, and these scriptures came. Father gave me these scriptures while I was laying down. Chapter 19, verse 11. Okay. And I think this account is dealing with Elijah. Okay, now, sorry about that. And it reads, 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11 to 12. And it reads, amen. And it reads, and he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the mighty one. And behold, the mighty one passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break it into pieces, the rocks before the mighty one. But the mighty one was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the mighty one was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the mighty one was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. I'm reading 13. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood and entered into the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Eli? So I went here because Eli was looking for the Most High. And he was expecting the Most High to be in the thundering and the earthquake. But he wasn't there. He was in a small, still voice. But we have to remember that we have to pay attention to that small, still voice, because the adversary also talks in a whisper. It's not called a small voice. It's called a whisper. And sometimes when we listening to those small voices or those whispers, we have to be able to discern who's speaking to us. We did a lesson a couple months back. Who are you listening to? Who are you listening to? Because if you're listening to the adversary, he's going to cause you to go contrary to your purpose and to the will of the Most High. But if you're listening to the Most High, you're going to be right according to your purpose. You're going to be right according to his word. So from here, we're going to go to we'll go to Exodus chapter 3, read verses 1 to 6. And this is talking about Moshe or Moses. And as we know, during this particular time, Moses was a shepherd over a flock. And he was out there doing his work. And his work was to shepherd these sheep. But he got into a distraction from doing his work. And it reads, now Moses was keeping the flocks of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the wilderness and came to the mighty one's mountain, to Horeb. So I looked the word Horeb up. It's 27:22 in your Hebrew in your Hebrew concordance, in the Hebrew section of your concordance, and it's Horeb, and it means waste, a mountain in Sinai, and it comes from Kareb, desolate. So I looked the word waste up. And one of the definitions was to be consumed, spent, or employed useless or without, given full value or being fully utilized, to become gradually consumed, used up, or worn away. I also looked the word desolate up, and it means to lay waste, devastated, to be deprived of inhabitants, depopulated, So we're going to go to verse 2, and it reads, "The angel of Yahweh appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Moses said, I will turn aside now and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt." So I'm stopping here because Moses sees this bush. And as he approaches the bush and get close to the bush, he realized that it wasn't being consumed. So that intrigued him. And ultimately, it took him away from dealing with the flocks. I'm reading verse 3 again. Moses said, "I will turn aside now and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt." When Yahweh saw that he turned aside to see, Yahweh called to him. Yahweh called him out of the midst of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses." He said, "Here I am." Now, we talked about that term, "Here I am," in several lessons ago. "Here I am." Now, he's saying he's willing. "I'm willing." And we talked about us being willing. So, in light of distractions, we have to say, am I willing to be distracted from what I'm doing to be intrigued by what's going on? Or am I going to stay the course and do what I'm going to do? And I'm saying this in light of being a believer, because we know that we have a purpose. And our purpose is to serve the Most High, keep His law, statutes, and judgment. But sometimes the human aspect of us causes us to turn aside and do contrary. But He always has a, as we say, a fail-safe to help us out, to get us back on track. But then we have to hear that voice, that still voice. That voice that is talking, like years ago, one of our teachers, he used to say, "You know when the Most High is talking to you. You know when the Messiah is talking to you. You know when that Spirit is talking to you. But because it's very clear, it's a clear sound, crystal clear." He said, he used to say, "It's clearer than any sound you've ever heard." And as we know, that soft voice that Hasatan used is a whistler. It's not really that clear. It's like mumbling. And then you have to figure out what he's saying. By the time you figure out what he's saying, you all jacked up. Getting back to verse 5, he said, "Do not come close. Take your sandals off. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place you are standing on is holy ground. Moreover," he said, "I am the mighty one of your father, the mighty one of Abraham, the mighty one of Isaac, and the mighty one of Jacob." Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at the mighty one. So, at the end of these scriptures, what came to my mind was, in the midst of this desolate place was a light of hope. Now, and I look at with the state that we're in right now, we got a lot of death and a lot of waste, and we live in a world that consumes a lot, doesn't let the land rest, it overworks its workers, because, you know, I'm an employee of somebody and they're working me real bad. You know, they're working me a lot, put it like that. They require me to work a lot. And a lot of time, and a lot of companies right now, depends on if you're an essential worker in this day and time, they're requiring that you put in a lot of hours. They're working us, causing us to be useless because we need proper sleep in order to do a good job. But I say this in light of, you know, but there is light, there is hope, and our hope is in Yahushua. And as long as we keep our eyes and focus on Him, we can overcome these obstacles that we might be faced with. And because we know that when Moses was called, because he was being called to bring Israel out of captivity, because they was in hard bondage right now. They was going through a lot of vigorous work. So from here, we're going to go to Matthew's chapter 14. We're going to read, we're going to read chapter 14, verse 22 to 36. And it reads, immediately Yahushua made the disciples get into the boat. Oh, let me give you the preface on this. Now, this is when I believe he was on the mountain. Let me turn to it exactly. Wait a minute. Trying to figure out exactly where he was at. Okay, he was teaching. He was teaching the people. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 to 36. It says, immediately Yahushua made his disciples get into the boat and to go ahead of him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. After he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain by himself to pray. When evening had come, he was there alone. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, distressed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. In the fourth watch of the night, Yahushua came to them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Yahushua spoke to them, saying, cheer up. It is I. Do not be afraid. Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. He said, come, Peter, step down from the boat and walk on the water to come to Yahushua. Let me read that again. He said, come. Peter stepped down from the boat and walked on the water to come to Yahushua. But when he saw that the wind was strong, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, saying, Lord, save me. Immediately, Yahushua stretched out his hand, took hold of him, and said to him, you of little faith, why did you doubt? When they got up into the boat, the wind ceased. Those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, you are truly the Son of Yah. When they had crossed over, they came to the land of, I looked this word up, I want to mess this up. Gennesaret. Gennesaret. And I looked that word up. That's 1082 in your Greek lexicon. And it is a fertile district by the Lake of Tiberias, which was in consequence sometimes called the Lake of Gennesaret. And it comes from a Hebrew word, 3672, Kinneroth, and that means a fertile plain. So I looked up the term fertile because in comparison to Horeb. As we know, the mountain of Horeb was, the definition for it was waste, deprived of inhabitants, overworked. So this place, it was a fertile plain, and fertile means produce or capable of producing abundant vegetation or crops of the mind or imagination, producing many new and inventive ideas with ease, of situations or subjects fruitful and productive and generating new ideas. So this is, he went to this land and said, when the people of this place, this is our verse 35, when the people of this place recognized him, they sent him to all the surrounding region and brought to him all who were sick. And they begged him that they might just touch the fringe of his garments. As many as touched it were made whole. And I have a little footnote after this particular account, and I wrote, in the midst of chaos, we must remember where our strength comes from. Our strength comes from Yahushua. It comes from Yahushua because we are the inhabitants of that land. We are the new inhabitants of that fertile ground. And we become fertile also through Yahushua. We become healed through Yahushua. Because Yahushua's spirit, as it dwells within us, helps us to get rid of the imperfections. Because he was perfect, so he's making us perfect also. But we have to do our part. As always said, we have to do our part. We don't just become perfect by not doing anything. We have to put forth that work. Because if we don't put forth the work, we become easy prey for the adversary. See, we don't carry our shield of faith. We don't put on our helmet of salvation. We don't put on our belt of truth. We don't put on our boots or our shin guards of the gospel. And we don't carry that sword of the word. So we have to do our part in combating these distractions. And some of the distractions we create for ourselves. And some of the distractions are given to us. Some of the distractions are put there for us. Just like in Moses' case. It was a distracting place there for him to see it and for him to inquire about it. It was a distraction. I was going to read the one that Paul had. It was a distraction that he had, but that distraction kept him humble. Sometimes the distractions that we are given to show our weakness so that the Most High can show his strength in our lives. Sometimes the distractions are given to us to test us, to see if we want to be one of his servants. So as believers, we have to understand and overcome these distractions And the way we overcome the distractions in our life is by his word and by practicing his word and by hearing his voice through the servants that he sent forth. Because his servants that he sent forth are just repeating his words. They become his vessels here on earth, just like in time past. He utilized men, he utilized things to show his wonder, because he created all things for his purpose and for his need, just like he created us. So family, just a little something to think about. Distractions. Because these distractions sometimes causes us to stumble. And sometimes these stumbling blocks, they come up again. But he tells us when they come in. But we have to be mindful of his word and what he has said to us so that we can have a watchful eye. Watchful eye for those things that could be a hindrance to us. So family, I'm going to conclude with a prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to enter into yet another Sabbath day, another day to give you praise and honor through thy Son, Yahushua. For it's through his spilt blood that we have been given an opportunity to live. For we've been given another opportunity to meet with you. For we've been given another opportunity to hear you speak to us through thy prophets. Father, we ask of thee to grant us a peaceful slumber on this Sabbath day, on this Sabbath night. We ask of thee, Father, to strengthen our minds, strengthen our conscious mind, and strengthen our unconscious mind so that we can stand on your word in both states. Father, we ask that they continue to help us to show you your love. Ask that they to continue to keep us to be the apple of your eye. And may we reciprocate that to you. Father, we ask that they grant us your peace. We ask of thee to watch over the sick, watch over the elderly, or the elders, and assist them in assisting us to know you better. Father, we thank thee once again for allowing us to be in this moment with you. And giving you praise. Hallelujah. Blessed are you, Yahweh, shield of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who restores his presence to Zion. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who blesses Israel. Peace. Shalom, Israel, friends and family, and you all have a peaceful slumber. Shalom.
Heavenly voices are. Every time I close my eyes, speak to me. Hey.
Heavenly voices, speak to me. Heavenly voices.